I want to draw your attention, primarily the thought we'll begin with, and then we'll talk about the verses around it, but mostly verse number 19 introduces the thought that we want to make the main point of the message this morning. And he says this, he says, "For this is thankworthy." Now we might use the word commendable. This is something that God considers to be thankworthy or commendable, something that's good. And what is that? He says, "It's thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Now it's true, and I think we all are aware, I wouldn't have to take long to prove it, that we all have times of suffering, right? All of us, and that's true of mankind all through history, there is suffering that goes on in this world. That's part of living in a sin-cursed world that we live in, is that there are times of suffering. And the Bible says, it refers to it often, Job is a man who suffered greatly, and in the book of Job, he said that man was born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. So in other words, like we had that fire out at the hayride last night, and you know, it's just a natural thing. The sparks fly upward. That's the direction they go. And what he's saying is it's just as natural as that, is natural that we enter into times of suffering. And that's true. But even now, Peter points out that there is a, maybe you could think of it as a subcategory of suffering, and that is for those who suffer wrongfully. In other words, there are sometimes we suffer because of bad choices that we've made. We understand that, right? We may have done things that the consequences of those are adversity, times of suffering. But there are times, Peter acknowledges here, that there are times when we suffer and really for no particular reason or no fault of our own, or maybe it's even just simply unfair. Let's put it that way. It's unfair that these kinds of sufferings and trials happen. And we understand that that's true as well. I mean, I remember one of the lessons I learned as a child was life's not fair, right? You've all heard that, right? Sometimes that's what parents have to say. Look, it's not fair. I know it's not fair. Life's not fair. And sometimes we do suffer unfairly. And that's what Peter is talking about here. Now, I know sometimes as Christians, we, and maybe people in general, we always look for, we want to assign blame, or we want to, you know, because we don't want to think that we can suffer unfairly, so there must be a reason. There must be, you know, somebody did something wrong and that's why we're suffering. And so we look for blame to assign. That's a common thing. And, you know, and oftentimes there is. You can find blame. You can assign blame. But, you know, most of the time that's really not very helpful, figuring out who to blame. Oftentimes that doesn't really solve anything or help anything. But I was thinking about the story when Jesus, there was a man born blind, and the disciples asked him the question, "Who hath sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I mean, that's the way they thought about it. It must be some sin there. Either he sinned, but you know, you kind of think about, wait a minute, he was born blind. You know, he hadn't even had a chance yet to sin. It wasn't that he was sinless, but Jesus said it wasn't because of this man's sin, nor was it because of any sin of his parents. He was born blind, and the Lord healed him, and he said it was for the glory of God. But, you know, some people look at that situation, they think, well, that's not fair. How do you deal with things that aren't fair? Things when we suffer wrongfully? Well, we're going to, I think Peter gives us some really important and good lessons about how to handle and how to deal with unfairness. And so I'm just going to point out three main points with some sub-points, but some things that Peter helps us to understand when we suffer wrongfully. And he says, again, just understand, he said, this is thankworthy. This is what's commendable. It's not commendable to suffer. Everybody suffers. But what's commendable is when we can suffer or go through some hardship and it's unfair, it's wrongfully, but yet we go through that with the right attitude. We go through it with the grace of God. We deal with it in a godly manner. That's what's commendable. That's what's thankworthy. And so how do we do that? Well, let me say, first of all, Peter, number one, he acknowledges that there is unfair suffering. I know I've already kind of stated that, but think about this with me. And he acknowledges that there is unfair suffering. There is sometimes when we suffer wrongfully. And you know, he talks about verse 18, he talks to servants. And he says servants, and that word servant is a specific word. There's several words that are translated with the word servant, but this word specifically has the idea of a household servant. And he's talking to the servants, and he said to be subject, which means to be, you know, in submission to be obeying your authority, those who are your masters. And so today we might put it in the term of employee, employer. And that's not a perfect match of what he's talking about here, but that's, you know, we're not bond servants so much today. But in those days they had household servants, they were bond servants, and he tells them to be subject to their masters, and not just to the ones that are kind, right? Not just to those that are gentle, those that are nice. But he said also, this is the Christian attitude, that we are to be in submission to authorities, whether or not they're fair, whether or not they're nice, whether or not they're gentle. He says to the gentle, the kind, but also to the froward. And so we're to obey those authorities. And sometimes those authorities don't treat us fairly. It might be a boss at work. It might be a teacher. It might be a parent even. It might be a spouse. We all are in these relationships and we have authorities over us. And sometimes people don't behave the way they should behave. And Peter's talking to this group of people, and he says to them to be in submission, keep the right attitude, be obedient, because you have a master that's not just that person, not just that human being that's there, but you also have a master higher than that, and that's God. And God is the one that's watching. God is the one who is keeping track of these things. And so if somebody abuses their authority, if somebody is not behaving properly, and we suffer wrongfully, he says for conscience sake, it's thankworthy, verse 19, for if a man for conscience sake toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So he acknowledges that there is sometimes unfair treatment, unfair suffering. And he acknowledges also, this is letter A if you want the outline like that, he acknowledges that unfair suffering is typically close to home. It often comes from those that we're close to, right? I mean, if somebody that, you know, we hardly know or really don't know, a stranger treats us unfairly, you know, that's one thing. We think, well, they don't know me. If they knew me, you know, they would love me. Or if they knew me, they would, they would treat me better. But it's harder to deal with when it's those that you're close to, right? When it's those who do know you. And they, even if it's at work per se, if you're doing a good job, you're a good employee, and the boss should recognize those things, but yet he's unfair, he's not treating you right. You see, sometimes, and well, let's say most of the time, the suffering that we endure, the hardships, many times they have to do around relationships. I mean, we might suffer physically, we might suffer financially, and those sufferings might seem unfair. But when it comes to relational suffering, it's typically those that are close to home. These household servants, suffering from froward masters. It's difficult when it comes from those close to you. He acknowledges that unfair suffering is typically close to home. Secondly, he acknowledges that unfair suffering comes from doing well. He says, when we do well and suffer for that, you know, we can sometimes get a martyr complex. You know, we want to say, well, oh, you know, I'm suffering for the Lord, and we get this, you know, martyr, you know, write me in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, another chapter, because I belong there, you know. We kind of get that feeling sometimes, but that's not the way Peter is wanting us to think about that. Sometimes it is reaping from bad choices. And we'll get into this a little more in the message, but, you know, when we don't take care of our bodies the way we ought to, you know, we eat all the junk we can and don't exercise and so on, and then we develop some kind of health problem. So, you know, we feel that we're really suffering because of this, and sometimes it is just simply we were not very good stewards, right? That can be true. And so when that happens, that's not really suffering wrongfully. I mean, that's kind of if it's for some bad decision, then you take your lumps. You know, you kind of just have to bear it because you bring it on yourself. And so that happens sometimes. But when it comes from doing well, this is what Peter's pointing out, is that when we've done well, it's no fault of our own. It's not, you know, something that is a result of a bad decision. Then there is the unfair suffering as it comes at that point. He acknowledges that sometimes doing well. Have you ever done something, you know, you did it right and you expected maybe because of that to be blessed for it and it didn't go that way? That can happen. And when it happens, you know, it discourages us sometimes. And that's why Paul said, be not weary in well-doing. Because he said what? He said, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so that's where we have to keep. And we'll get to that. I don't want to get ahead of my outline here. But if we keep our focus in the right place, then we don't let those things discourage us. So Peter acknowledges that we do suffer wrongfully, that it's typically comes from those close to home, and it also comes from doing well. And then thirdly, he acknowledges that unfair suffering is an opportunity to demonstrate God's grace. And this is where we really begin to learn some spiritual lessons, is that when we suffer wrongfully, the reason it's commendable when we do that and we follow, we'll see here in a moment, the example of Christ, is that we really do get to demonstrate the grace of God. I mean, think about it this way. It's easy to say, praise the Lord, when everything's going good, right? I mean, that's not hard. Everybody can do that. When there's no bills to pay, and when your health is good, and people are friendly, and everything seems nice, that's easy to say, praise the Lord. Doesn't take grace to do that. It just, you know, even you know, spiritual babies can do that. But what takes grace is when we endure these hardships unfairly. It's like Paul, when Paul, we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible talks about Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And it never gives us the answer as to what exactly that was. Some people believe it was a physical infirmity, and that's probably likely. In the context, it seems like he's talking about in the flesh, it was something to do with his health. And from other indications in the Bible, a lot of people believe that Paul had a severe eye problem. And I can imagine Paul, the Bible says he prayed 3 times. He asked the Lord to take away that thorn. And you know, I can almost imagine Paul praying like we would pray and saying, Lord, you know, I'm serving you. I'm the apostle, you know, out preaching the gospel. And I could do it more effectively if I had my eyesight better. You know, I could be more, I could study more, I could see my way around, I could operate better, Lord, if you would fix this, right? I'm sure Paul probably prayed something like that. And then the Lord said no. And Paul prayed the second time and he said, Lord, please take away this thorn in my flesh. It would be a blessing to me and it would also help me in your work. And you know, let me just say something that I think might help you. If God answered every prayer that we pray, then he wouldn't be God, we would. You think about that for a minute. If we always got, you know, because that presupposes that we know what we should have. We know what we want, you know. And yes, God does answer prayers. But in this case, Paul said, Paul, it doesn't tell us that he exactly said this, but I have this idea that Paul said, I could serve you better if I had this fixed. And God said, no, actually, you can serve me better when you understand my grace. And so God didn't take away that thorn in the flesh. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul learned that him being able to serve God with that affliction, with that hardship that seemed unfair, but yet it was a way that Paul demonstrated. It demonstrated him personally the grace of God, but he got to demonstrate the grace of God publicly. In the fact that, you know, and we see people sometimes that they're serving the Lord and they're doing things for God and doing it with such a handicap that we look at that and go, wow. I mean, man, if I was in their shoes, if I had the condition they have, I don't think I could do as good as they do, right? But why are they doing it? It's the grace of God working in their life. And so these times of suffering unfairly are really times for us to acknowledge and to operate in and to demonstrate the grace of God. And I just want to say, if you're suffering unfairly, just know that God knows all about it. He does. He knows all about it. And he has grace that's sufficient for that time. All right, so we see that Peter acknowledges unfair suffering. Then number two, Peter analyzes. Not only does he acknowledge it, but he gives us a little bit of an analysis here about unfair suffering. He analyzes unfair suffering. And as he does that, that's the right way to say it. I have again some subpoints. Letter A, unfair suffering invites self-examination. Suffering alone kind of does that. It's one of those, like a speed bump, you know, it makes you slow down and causes you to examine a few things. And so if it's, I've talked to a few people recently about health things that come on, and I said it's the strangest thing. The older you get, these weird things happen you never experienced before, but all of a sudden it just seems to be, and it comes on like that, right? This morning I was just up here, and this is really strange. Nothing big, but I mean, this finger went totally numb. Just out of the blue. How does that happen? It just does. I don't know. But I examine that and I go, yeah, I'm getting old. That's what I figure out, right? But when suffering comes, though, and especially, you know, unfairly, it does cause us. It causes us to examine ourselves. And sometimes, we look at it and we go, yeah, I understand why. You know, I abused my body back then, or I did this there, and you know, you don't get to be 65 and have emphysema and say I'm suffering for Jesus when you smoked for 40 years, you know, and you'd say, I think that's probably because I was, and so in other words, you recognize that this is what's causing this, and I need to stop it, right? So sometimes when it's not really unfair, we recognize there's something that we're doing that we need to stop doing, and then by the grace of God, maybe we can get back to where we should be. But it causes us to do some self-examination, and that's a good thing, right? It's always a good thing when we can look in. And when we look in, we're suffering for good causes. Then we just have to draw near the Lord. Know the Lord understands. The Lord knows. So it causes us to do some self-examination. But then letter B, unfair suffering will promote a God consciousness. And that's what he says here in verse number 19. If toward if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. We're more conscious of God in times of suffering too. Not only are we more self-aware maybe, but we also, I think, often become more God-conscious. When we recognize that, you know, we need the Lord in times of suffering. When we're going through, when we're on the mountaintop, when things are going smoothly, we tend to forget about our need for God. Would you say that's a fair statement? We tend to think, you know, we're rolling along, everything's going fine, and we tend to forget that we're still, it's God that's holding us up. But when we get into trouble, then we become more aware, we become more conscious of God. And you know, when you go through times of suffering, I was thinking about it in this way as well. Rick mentioned his brother-in-law passed away recently, and they had to go for a service. And some of you, you know, you've had family members close to you. It might be a parent, it might be maybe even a spouse. I don't even know if there's anybody in here, perhaps that you've lost a child. But you know, when you go through those things, then when you meet others who've gone through them, you feel much more deeply. I mean, you understand. I mean, you know, when somebody says to me, my loved one passed away, I have some sympathy and I pray for them. But when you've been there, you know that feeling. You feel deeper about it. There's a deeper connection with their feeling, with their grief, right? And so, here's what Peter is going to show us here, is that that's true on a human level. But when we get into these times of suffering, and Peter points out Jesus suffered unfairly, we really get to understand even the Lord more. We get to understand a little more of what he went through. And that's what I think is probably the key to me when I studied this out and was thinking about what Peter was saying. He says, you know, it's commendable if we suffer wrongfully and take it, you know, do good. We keep the right attitude. We don't retaliate. We don't get bellyache. We're still thankful. We still operate in the grace of God. That's the blessing. I mean, that's commendable. But at the heart of it is my relationship with the Lord can be strengthened. I still remember, and I said this because some time ago, it was recently in our evening service, but there was a lady who used to live here, and she taught our girls piano. And some of you knew this lady, June, and she called Betsy recently. They talked on the phone, and she'd since moved to the coast. And her husband passed away, and then very sadly, very tragically, her son took his own life. And it was a terrible thing, you know. But she made a statement that just floored Betsy and I. She said, you know, I wouldn't have them back because my relationship with God has grown so much from going through this. I mean, can you imagine making a statement like that? I still have a hard time even relating to it as far as, you know, I mean, I just marvel at the depth of faith and so on. But she realized that relationship she was able to deepen with God was so precious to her. Now, you just think about that, but this is what Peter is saying. Peter's saying, when he analyzes this, that unfair suffering promotes a God consciousness. Unfair suffering fertilizes our relationship with Christ. And so we see that he acknowledges it, he analyzes it, he helps us to analyze it, he helps us to see it. He helps us to see that when we go through these things, that we go through them with a conscience toward God, we go through them understanding that we'll see more in these verses in a minute, but it's following after the footsteps of Jesus, that Jesus has been there, and our relationship with him is strengthened. When Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, he said, that I may know him. You remember that verse? I've told you it's my life's verse. But Paul said, that I may know him. And to know him, he said, is part of knowing him is the fellowship of his sufferings. That's how we get to know the Lord. And I think about David. David wrote those Psalms, and many of those Psalms were prophetic. He was making prophetic statements about Christ. But in those, you remember how David would talk about, he said, and he made statements like this: it wasn't those that, my enemies that forsook me or betrayed me. It wasn't my enemies that hurt me. It was those close to me. It was my friends. It was my family members that betrayed me, that were close to me, that hurt me. And in that he was really conveying what Christ would have felt. His own disciple, Judas, betraying him to be killed. His own brethren, his earthly brothers, the sons of Joseph and Mary, half brothers to the Lord, if you will, they didn't believe in him. They mocked him at times. And I'm saying that, you know, when we go through that, we enter into a little bit, we can kind of relate. And we, you know, in other words, when I'm in this place, I can pray and I say, Lord, I don't fully understand. I don't fully feel what you feel, but I sense a little bit of how you must have felt. Because who suffered unfairly more than he did? Nobody. Nobody suffered anything more unjustly than Jesus did. He who did no wrong suffered for our sins. And so it fertilizes our relationship with Christ. Last of all, in closing, Peter calls for us to accept unfair suffering. Now here's where we look at these verses. Verse 21, he says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Now I want you to think about it in this way as we draw this to a close. When we come into these times of unfair sufferings, it's an opportunity to demonstrate the grace of God. It's an opportunity to follow in his steps. How do we follow in the steps of the Lord when to do this? Well, he gives us some steps. And think about that. The word steps, just it helps me to think about that God never puts more on us than by his grace we can handle. And incrementally, step by step, as we follow the Lord, we find his grace is there. Now, notice what he says. So how do we follow the steps of the Lord? Well, first of all, he retained his integrity when he was criticized. You see there where it says in verse 22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not." Because what's the natural tendency when when somebody does something to you? The natural tendency is you return the same kind back to them, don't you? I mean, that's human nature. Human nature is if you smite me on one cheek, I'll smite you on the other, you know, or something. That's not what Jesus said. He said, turn the other cheek. But you know, when somebody calls you a name, you want to call them a name. When somebody does you wrong, you kind of want to, you know, in other words, your sin justifies my sin. But that's not following Jesus. Jesus retained his integrity. He retained his goodness. And that's when we follow the steps of the Lord. What do? When we're treated unfairly, we don't revile back. We don't get even. We take it patiently. That's what Christ did. So following the steps of the Lord is to maintain, to guard our integrity, guard our mouth. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to guard. We always want to, throw back an insult. We always want to justify ourselves or have the last word. And that's not what the Lord did. So guard your tongue, guard your Facebook, guard whatever, you know, just don't retaliate back. And how else do we follow the steps of the Lord? Well, remember that truth always triumphs ultimately. Let me say that again. Remember that truth always ultimately triumphs. Notice what it says here. He threatened not, in verse 23, when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You understand what he's saying, right? He committed it to God, the Father. Because he didn't have to retaliate. He didn't have to revile. He didn't have to get back. And we want it to happen now. You know, when we're treated unfair, we want that our day in court is now. You know, God will make it right today. And it's not always today. But you have to understand that one day it will be made right. Isn't that true? So we just commit ourselves to God. It's not, vengeance is not mine, it's the Lord's. And we don't have to, we want to maintain our integrity, we want to follow the steps of Christ, we want to suffer it patiently, because one day the truth is going to come out. And when they've lied about you, they've treated you unfairly, the people around you maybe for 40 years have believed the lie, but think about this, for all eternity they're going to know the truth. And so he committed himself. He knew that truth ultimately is going to triumph. It might not be today. It might not be this week. It might not be this year or the next. Tozer, A.W. Tozer, was talking about this. And he just made this really simple statement. But he was dealing with people saying things about him and so on. And he talked about truth marches on. And he just said this, and we can wait. We can wait. Truth is going to come out. Right is going to prevail. And sometimes we just have to commit it to the Lord and wait. But just know that truth will always ultimately prevail. All right? And then lastly, we need to consider the spiritual reality of our situation. Look at verse 24 and we'll close. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, let me just stop there for a minute. That's the wonderful truth of the gospel, is that we have sinned against God. Our suffering, you know, is really a result of sin. Many times it's our own directly, but it's always because of sin in general. That's why suffering happens in this world. The consequences, the result of the curse of sin. But you see, our sin not only causes us to suffer now, but our sin separates us from God. Sin is why we needed Jesus to come to die for us. And so he says he bare our sins in his own body. You know, that's a phrase that was what it brought me to where I understood the gospel. Because that's what my mom had told me all those years. She said, Jesus died for your sins. For many years, I never grasped that. I heard it. I understood. I knew what she said. I knew the words. But, you can hear a message and it doesn't really sink in. For so long, it never sunk in. But it sunk in the day when I realize that I'm not right with God. If I die in this condition, I'm not going to heaven. And then it came to me, Jesus died for my sins. And that means he took my punishment, my penalty. He took the price of my sin on himself. He died in my place. He arose again from the dead. And by faith in him, he offers forgiveness. He offers salvation. And I want you to understand today that God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. And he suffered for you. He suffered unfairly, but he did it willingly for our sins. So that by faith in him, we can know the forgiveness of sin and salvation. But notice what he says now in the end of that verse. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and that we being dead to sin. What's the result of that? What's the result of the cross? Is that He took our sins, then we can be saved and have His righteousness, and we are dead to sin, which, if I can sum it up for you, it means that we're free. We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free. And so when Peter is talking about unfair suffering, he's talking to these servants and he's saying, you may have masters that are froward. In other words, they're harsh, they're unfair, they're unkind, and they don't do right, they don't behave properly, they treat you wrongfully. But he said, just understand that you are, you're not a, just a, if you might be a slave, you might be a servant to man, but in Christ you're free. Spiritually you're free. And so in that freedom, you have a father. We're going to see here in a minute. He calls him the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. What a beautiful phrase. But he says, you're not just a victim of the treadmill of this world, of circumstances. You have a father. You have a bishop of your soul. You have a shepherd. And you're free spiritually. Whatever's going on physically in this world, but understand spiritually, we're not a victim of everything because we're free in Christ. Does that make sense? I mean, to me it does. I just see that I don't have to worry about everything that happens now. Truth is going to prevail. God knows the truth, and He's keeping the records, and He's watching. And if I understand that in this I have an opportunity to demonstrate His grace, in this I have an opportunity to enter into some of His suffering and understand my Savior better, and all of that God has given me because I'm free in Christ. And so I can deal with unfair suffering. It doesn't seem as unfair. Doesn't seem as unpleasant when I recognize that I have this relationship with the Lord. So verse 25, for we were as sheep going astray. That's what we were. But now, are we now returned unto the shepherd? The shepherd is the one who protects us. He's the one that cares for us. He's the one that watches over us. And then the bishop means overseer. He's the bishop of our soul. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? We have a shepherd, that's the Lord. He's watching, He's caring, He's protecting. We have an overseer, He's keeping the count. And so spiritually understand that. Are you going to suffer? Yeah. Will it sometimes be unfair? Can be. How do you deal with that? You acknowledge that it does happen. Sometimes it comes from those close to us. Sometimes it comes even though we've done right, we do good. But in it is an opportunity to demonstrate God's grace. It's an opportunity to fertilize the relationship I have with the Lord. And it's an opportunity to see and just to recognize that truth will triumph and that we're free in Christ. So I hope that can help you. If you're dealing with it right now or maybe in the future, some unfair suffering. But it's commendable, it's thankworthy when we follow the steps of Christ. Let's all stand together.